This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, this is what it says. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," Pentecost just simply means 50th day. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting." I want you to notice, suddenly. Boy, we need some suddenly experiences. Amen? But by the way, they were sitting. They were just sitting. They weren't trying to work something up. We don't need to work something up. We need to pray something down. They were sitting. "And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now wait, "they were filled with the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I cannot, you never said I could. You can, you always said you would. I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. Give your word a free course to travel. May it find a lodging place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For we pray this prayer, believing for fruitfulness, but we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit produces results. The power of the Holy Spirit produces results. 20 years ago, my favorite preacher went to heaven. His name was Adrian Rogers. And Adrian Rogers said when he was a young man, he was preaching in Brooksville, Florida. And he said, "I went to Brooksville, Florida to preach a revival." And he said that night in Brooksville, Florida, it started raining. It started raining. And you know, folks, let three drops of rain fall and 20 church members will stall. Amen. I mean, it started raining. And Adrian Rogers said, "I went to that church that night and I preached," and he said, "there were just a few people there." And he said, "I was discouraged." And he said, an older deacon in the church said to me, he said, "Well, Brother Rogers, you can't expect people to come out on a rainy night. You can't expect people to come out on a rainy night." And he said, "I was getting in my car to leave," and he said, "I heard a siren, and I saw a fire truck go through." And he said, "Lo and behold, I saw people chasing the fire truck." And he said, "I followed the fire truck myself." And he said, "When I got there, there was a house on fire." And he said, "A lot of people at the revival were there watching the fire." And he said, "The people that weren't at the revival were there watching the fire." And he said, "I said to the Lord, God, we've got far more people here watching the fire than was at the church." He said, God said to him, "Oh, Adrian, the fire will bring them out. The fire will bring them out." Ladies and gentlemen, we need the fire of God. We need the fire of God. You say, "Preacher, I'm discouraged." Let me tell you about a man that was discouraged. His name was Jeremiah. He was one to quit. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he said this. He said, "His word was in my heart as a fire shut up in my bones." We need the fire. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they spake with tongues of fire. You know what's interesting to me? When Jesus left and went to heaven, he had 120 followers. But the Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people come to know Christ. Study the early church. Within the first 7 years, there were 100,000 followers. What made the difference? What made the difference is the fire of the Holy Spirit. What to make the difference in your life? What to make the difference in my life, ladies and gentlemen? What to make the difference in a church life? It's the fire. It's the presence. It's the touch. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I spend a lot of time studying old preachers. I've become one of them. I remember spending some time studying Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was the first megachurch pastor. When you think about megachurch pastors, I mean literally, he was the first megachurch pastor. And I'd spent years studying him. And so about 2 years ago, I went to England and I went to Spurgeon's church. I went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle. I not only went to Spurgeon's church, I went to his grave. I went to everything I could find about the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon's sermon sold 25,000 copies a week. He read 6 books a week. He trained 900 men for ministry. He founded a pastor's college. He founded an orphanage. He would preach 10 times a week. He produced 140 books, responded to 500 letters every week. And they said, Spurgeon, how did you do so much? And he said this. He said, there were two of us. There were two of us. Ladies and gentlemen, we can accomplish much, much more with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. And by the way, folks, you can do nothing significant without the Holy Spirit. He said, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. We're ships without wind. He said, not only are we ships without wind, but we're branches without sap. Not only are we ships without wind, not only are we branches without sap, but we're coals without fire. Spurgeon went on to say, we're useless. Now today as I preach, just like always, there are three groups of people here. Three groups, there's always three groups. Every time you stand up to preach, there's three groups. There's people here who don't know the Lord. You don't know the Lord. And I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know what, no matter what your lifestyle, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, God loves you. God didn't send his son Jesus to rub your sins in. He sent him to rub them out. I want you to know that you don't go too far. I want you to know that God saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen? God loves all people. Red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. But there are people here that you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life because you've never accepted Jesus Christ. But look, there are people here. You know the Lord. You've accepted the Lord. But you've never given him full control. So you have the Holy Spirit, but you've never given him full control of your life. Look, you might go to church if it's convenient. You might read your Bible if it's convenient. You might pray. Well, what would you say, Pastor Benny? I'd say a carnal Christian. And then there are people here, they know the Lord. And they've given the Lord full control of their life. They realize Philippians 1 and 21 says, for me to live is Christ. They realize that Acts 17 and 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Folks, I want to go on record as saying, Jesus is not a part of my life. Jesus Christ is my life. Jesus Christ is my life. But Ephesians 5 and 18, get this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I want you to understand something, folks. He said that to the church. He said that to the church. Now think about this. On one occasion, if you read in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6, Jesus was seen of better than 500 people. Wait, So 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. That's what God's word says. Hey, would it be safe to say they had an experience with Jesus? You see this man that was dead, and now he's walking around? That would be an experience. Somebody say amen. But on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 1:15 and Acts 2 verse 4, there were 120 there that were filled. So 76% weren't filled. They'd had an experience. But 76% said, apparently, we're not interested in that. Now, let me talk to you just straight. I want to say three things. What are the reasons for the Spirit-filled life? Pastor, what you're talking about today? Talk to me about the reasons for the Spirit-filled life. Reason number one is obedience. It's obedience. This deal of be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Here's the only question we got to ask. Who was he talking to? Well, go to Ephesians 1:1. Look what he says to the saints, which are at Ephesus. He said to the church, be filled with the Spirit. This is not a suggestion. This is not just for Billy Graham and Mother Teresa and Charles Stanley. It's not for super saints. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than a full church of half full people. Now think about it. Be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You say, wait, preacher, can you imagine, folks, if I got up here today, and I was drunk. Yeah. I was with the Lounge Lizards at the Crystal Pistol last night, and I just got in the sauce, too heavy. You say, my gosh, I'm not going to listen to this man preach. And I wouldn't blame you, folks. But in the same aspect, why would you want to hear somebody preach? Why would you want to hear somebody teach? Why would you want to hear somebody minister that wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor, it'd be wrong for you to be drunk, and it'd be wrong for me to not be Spirit-filled also. Why do we do it? Oh, hear me, folks, hear me. To be obedient to what God tells us to do. You say, well, Pastor, this is different from the type of preaching I've heard. You know what most people want with preaching? They want ammunition for what they already believe. And the minute the preacher says something contrary to what they already believe, it matters not if it's the Word of God. They're upset. But folks, we need to let God's Word be our God. Not any man's opinion, not any man's preference, not, I love your grandmother, but it matters not what your grandmother taught you. It matters what God's word says. Tradition, goodness gracious, let that go. Well, the Baptist said, or the Pentecostal said, here's a news flash. Who cares? It's what God says that counts. We do it because of obedience, but then we do it because of opportunities. Look at what this verse says. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Wouldn't that be good, folks? Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I was reading, didn't look over it, but I looked over it in Luke chapter 2, verse 27. You remember that man, Simeon, who would go to the temple? And he went to the temple one day, folks. Get this. And it was on that day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to dedicate him. It was on that day that Mary and Joseph, but wait, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Whew. The Holy Spirit led him to the temple. And because the Holy Spirit led him to the temple, he held Jesus. I'm sorry, folks. He led the Son of God. He held the Son of God. He held the Creator of the world because he followed the Holy Spirit. I'm just curious, folks. I wonder how many opportunities we miss. I wonder how many opportunities we miss because we're not led of the Holy Spirit. What are the requirements, Pastor, for the Spirit-filled life? What are the requirements for the Spirit-filled life? Well, let me say something, folks. The Holy Spirit he's a person. He's not energy. He's not a force. He's a person. So requirements for the Spirit-filled life is a relationship with a person. See, folks, you say, well, I want a relationship with God. I want a relationship with Jesus. Well, we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit also. You say, well, preacher, talk to me about how I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Number one, total commitment. Total commitment. This amazes me. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So wait. We house the Holy Spirit. Is that thought-provoking, folks? That we house the Holy Spirit. This is the house. But you know what I've learned? If we're going to house the Holy Spirit, we got to let him come into every room. That means my business life, he's got to come in that room. We okay? That means my social life. I got to let him come in that room. That means my thought life. I've got to let him come in that room. We can't compartmentalize. Remember, we house the Holy Spirit. We have to say, no. Sometimes when somebody's coming to the house and we don't get a notice, we'll close off this room and close off that room. Right. You've been there and done it. Close off this room, close off that room. Well, I didn't know they was coming. And folks, if we're not awful careful, we'll do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. I want to close off this room. No. He has to have full access. I'm preaching better than you're responding. An uneducated preacher named D.L. Moody. He was just an uneducated man. I went to Northfield, Massachusetts and knelt at his grave and asked God to give me an anointing like D.L. Moody had. They were having revivals and everybody would say, let's get D.L. Moody. Let's get D.L. Moody to come. Let's get D.L. Moody. One lady got upset about it. And she stood up in a church conference. She said, I want to tell y'all something. D.L. Moody don't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. And one lady said, no, but the Holy Spirit's got a monopoly on D.L. Moody. And folks, we need the Holy Spirit to have a monopoly on us. You say, preacher, are you preaching soft today? No, I'm not preaching soft. I'm saying what God deserves is total, total commitment. Now, let me tell you something else. Not only the requirements, total commitment, but it's continual control. It's continual. See, when the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, that's in the present tense, and that means the continual tense. The one I was telling you about, D.L. Moody, many times a day he would say, God, fill me with your spirit. I sat right back there and I put my head down and I said, oh God, before I step up there to preach, fill me with your spirit. You can't do it. Look, you said, well, I'm counseling somebody. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to have a meeting. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm working in the hospital. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to do this at work. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual process. Now, here's what's amazing. I thought about this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to say something here right quick. You say, preacher, do you drink? No, I don't. I don't. But I want to preach the whole Word of God. The Bible says, be not drunk. When we're saying somebody, you say, well, this person had a drink and they're on their way to hell. That's just not true. That's just not biblical, by the way. There's no biblical basis for that. You say, so preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm trying to say. So if you see Pastor Benny, there's a restaurant I go to sometimes, and the waitresses will tell me, when you come in, if you're in here, if you're in here, the people will say, put us over there on the other side. Because that's Benny Tate. I wish you wouldn't be that way. Because if you say, I'm having a drink, nothing prohibits that from God's word. Now, I just want to preach the whole Bible. Am I okay? Look, some of you, one way or the other, but am I okay just preaching the whole Bible? But the Bible is very clear when it says, be not drunk. And you say, Pastor, I can't have a drink without getting drunk. Give me a recommendation. Don't have a drink. This is not brain surgery, Leroy. But when he said, be not drunk, why didn't he say, don't steal, but be ye filled with the Spirit? Why didn't he say this? Why didn't he say, don't commit adultery, but be filled with the Spirit? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the reason why he said that is because of contrast, and comparison. Contrast and comparison. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and they're speaking with tongues and the people of there hear the gospel in their language. It was supernatural. Supernatural experience. And then in Acts 2:15, some of them said, these guys are drunk. I mean, they were speaking a different language, sharing the gospel. They said, these guys are drunk. Peter said, no way. It's 9:00 in the morning. It's 9:00 in the morning. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, folks. They were under the control of another power. They were under the control of another power. The contrast, kind of like the old boy that was driving. He was driving and he was going down the a one-way street and he was going the wrong way. And an officer pulled him over and gave him a ticket because he was drinking. He said, an officer said to him, didn't you see the arrows? He said, officer, I didn't even see the Indians. Get this. It's contrast, but then it's comparison. You say, preacher, what do you mean by comparison? Here's just a thought. How do you stay drunk? Give you a verse. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But good. But whosoever drinketh. Notice it didn't say whosoever half drunk. It said whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst. Whosoever drinketh. How do you stay drunk? You keep drinking. How do you stay spirit-filled? By surrendering yourself of yourself and asking God to fill you with His Spirit. Let me tell you the problem with the average church member. Let me tell you the problem with the average church. We have sobered up. We've sobered up. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Leonard Ravenhill said, Christianity today is so subnormal that if any Christian began to act like a normal New Testament Christian, he would be considered abnormal. Vance Havner said, I've got to hurry, but when a man comes to know Christ, he has a blood-bought, heartfelt, sin-killing, life-changing experience with God. Vance Havner said, almost immediately he has to backslide in order to have fellowship with the rest of the people in the congregation. What's the result of the Spirit-filled life? Let me say this, folks. So you say, Pastor, this is interesting to me. This is interesting to me. Well, if it's interesting to you, I would encourage you to get my book, Unlimited. It's literally 12 chapters on the Holy Spirit. And not only get that book, I trained the Church of God pastors this week in the state of Alabama. I trained every Church of God pastor in the state of Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama. And they lined up as far as I could see, and they were getting my book, Unlimited, and getting my workbook. My workbook, six chapters with a lesson on the Holy Spirit. What's the results? Number one. It affects your worship life. It affects your worship life. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Look, we need to bring our worship to church with us. And we need to leave and take our worship with us. You say, but so being filled with the Spirit affects your worship. Well, Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. And look what Ephesians 19 says. 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Holy Spirit, it affects our worship life, but it affects our wedded life. You know what's amazing? He said in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. And then in Ephesians 5:21, he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then in Ephesians 5:22, he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then in Ephesians 5:25, he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You said, well, how can you do that? Well, I don't think it's real hard for a, I don't think it's real hard for a woman to submit to a loving husband. I'll preach a month on that coming up too. No, I'm serious. On the family. And I don't think it's hard for a husband to love a submitting wife. But how do we do it? Do we do it in this? Uh-uh. Have no confidence in the flesh. You can't do it in this. You do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's in Ephesians 5:18. It affects our work life. It affects our work life. You say, Pastor Benny, my boss is the devil in heels. Well, look what Ephesians 6:5-6 tells us. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Look what verse 9 says. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. How can the employees serve their master? And how can the master treat the employees properly? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our worship life, our wedded life, our work life, and then our war life. I read this week that 3% of the time, folks, I'm almost done. 3% of the time in your life, you have no problems. I don't know that I've ever experienced that 3%. 97% of the time, you're going to have problems. 97% of the time, you're going to be in a battle in some way. It just goes with it. Let me tell you about this guy. He was 90 years old, and for punishment, he was put on the Isle of Patmos. It's just a, kind of like an Alcatraz, a rock quarry island. For punishment, John was put there. He had all kinds of liabilities. He had all kinds of limitations. No doubt he suffered from loneliness. He said, I was a prisoner. Well, let's look at what he said. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Christ, I was on the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's out on this island. He's in a battle. He's going through a tough time. How'd he deal with it? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And how do we get through the battles of life? Through the precious Holy Spirit. Through the precious Holy Spirit, living, God living his life through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you get through it, ladies and gentlemen. The first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And God said to a man by the name of Zerubbabel, I want you, Zerubbabel, to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount, the second temple. And he went out there and he did it, folks. And he took him 2 years. Just to get the foundation. 2 years to get the foundation. And because of various enemies, because of various struggles, because of various adversity, for 17 years, nothing happened. It was halted. 17 years. And Zerubbabel basically said, I don't know if I can do it. The battle's too great. And God said, Zerubbabel, I want you to understand something. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel. It's not by might. Make sure I get everything right. It's not by might. That's what a group can do. It's not by power. The context there is that's not what an individual can do. It's not going to be through what a group can do for you. It's not going to be through what an individual can do for you. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my Spirit. And Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. I don't know what you're facing today, but it's not by power. You're not going to overcome it through might. You're only going to overcome it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.